Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week, we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, beginning with
the 10th chapter at the 35th verse.
Glory to the Lord.
So James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "Well, what is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Well, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We're able." Then Jesus said to him, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left, that's not mine to grant. But it is those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 other disciples heard this conversation, they began to get angry with James and John. So Jesus called them over and he said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But that's not the way it's going to be among you. Whoever wishes to become great must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you might say that James and John, they're looking for the best seats in the house. And the best seat in the house, well, that's right next to Jesus. In his glory, one on his right hand and one on his left. That seat, however, is only for those for whom it has been prepared. Now, when we hear their requests, James and John, well, they sound a bit arrogant, maybe self-seeking, interested in privileges for themselves, honor, status, whatever. And that's often how this text that we have today for our gospel is interpreted. And there's certainly no lack of that kind of behavior in our world. We've all seen it in others, if we are honest, in ourselves as well. Maybe the usual interpretation and judgment are more a statement about our own motives than that of James and John. And maybe that's why the other 10 disciples get sort of upset. Maybe, however, there is more to this story than our usual interpretation. Maybe there's another way to understand what is going on, not only in the text, but what's going on in us. And I can tell you this. When I was a kid, we would have family get-togethers. And my brothers and I would often argue who got to sit next to my Aunt Helen, because Aunt Helen brought cake. She brought good things, and we knew that being next to her was the place to be. And in elementary school, I had a buddy. His name was Jim Leinecke, and I always wanted to be near where he was. And in high school, I hate to admit this, but I struggled with plain and solid geometry. And in the middle of that course, a good friend of mine, her name was Diane, I realized she wasn't struggling. She knew. So I my goal was to sit real close to her, so if I needed any help, I could get it. And I remember the joy and gratitude of sitting with my spiritual mentor, Dr. Saray, at seminary. He was a wonderful person, one who nourished my spirit. And of course, after I met my wife, I wanted to sit close to her as possible. And sometimes I still do, depending on the day. We all have those people in our lives that attract us, that draw us to them. And when that happens, their lives speak to us about love and friendship. And it shows us something about ourselves. Their presence changes who we are. They call forth from us the best part of who we can be. In them, we catch a glimpse of something holy, maybe something meaningful, special, something that gives life. And so we want to be close to those sort of good things, as close as we can get. We don't want to let it slip away. We want to be next to them, not because of who we are, but because of who they are, the sort of person they are. And you know what? That's what Christ offers each of us. That's what James and John have experienced with Jesus. It began that day when they were out there at the Sea of Galilee, and they caught a glimpse of something in and about Jesus that allowed them to leave their boats and their nets and their dad and follow him. They knew something was going with him. And they, along with Peter, would become Jesus' inner circle of disciples. And you'll recall the story of Jairus and his daughter, who was restored to life. And they were permitted to be there for that. And they were the ones who Jesus took up on the mountain to witness his transfiguration. They have seen some really spectacular things that the other disciples have not seen. They were invited in to be next to Jesus when the others were not. All along the way, James and John have a different experience and relationship with Jesus. They have seen in Jesus something no one else could ever show them. How could they not ask to sit next to him in his glory? They're not asking for their own glory, but Jesus' glory. They're only asking for what they have already caught a glimpse of, what they've seen in him. They do not want to lose that life that they've experienced with Jesus. They want to be as close to it as possible. And there are moments like that for us as well. There are times when we absolutely understand why we want to be with Jesus. We know that we know. We have glimpsed the beauty, the presence, the holiness of Christ in our own lives. Everything about our life and world is different because of Christ. And so there are those moments we say, "Grant us to sit at your side, Lord, in your glory." We want to be up there with James and John. It's not a plea for privilege. It's not a plea for entitlement. What it is, it's a plea of one who never wants to lose that glimpse, that special feeling we have with Christ. We never want that moment to end. We want to be there with him. And of course, that brings forth a moment of decision. And we have to ask ourselves, like Jesus asked James and John, are we willing to drink the cup that Jesus drinks? Are we willing to be baptized with the baptism with which he is baptized? With those questions, Jesus is drawing James and John deeper into their own experience of him. He is both affirming and at the same time holding them accountable for what they ask. One does not share in Christ's glory if one does not share his life, his suffering, and his death. Glory is not a thing to be had, something you can grasp something you can put on top of your chest of drawers at home. It's something that is lived. It's not an escape from the world, but it's a deeper involvement, a deeper engagement in the world. And to all of this, when they hear Jesus saying, okay, you can be with me, but you've got to be ready for what's going to come, they say, we're able. And the other 10 disciples who are watching all this unfold, they don't get it. And so they're angry, they're indignant at James and John. But it's not really about James and John. They're angry and indignant with themselves, with their own inability to see and experience what James and John have experienced. At a deeper level, the anger and indignation of the 10 disciples, really what it is, it's their own longing and desire for what James and John have seen. They want to be able to say, too, we're able. They want to go with Jesus. They want to walk with him. But they are just not there yet, at least not now, not yet. And I know there have been times when we've wanted to be close to Christ and we can't be there yet. I bet you've had that experience. And there are times when the darkness around us is sort of thick and our sense of desperation is a little deep. And our world may be turned upside down. And we feel like we've lost our place beside Christ. And like it's like we're all sitting there by ourselves. We not only do not know what we believe about God, sometimes we don't know if we even believe in God. We have those questioning moments. It's easy in those times to be a little angry, maybe a little jealous with those who seem to have their life all together spiritually. And we look at them and say, hey, how is that possible? Why them? Why not me? Why not us? Jesus doesn't allow the 10 to sit over there by themselves stewing. He looks at them and he calls them over. He's not going to permit any separation between the 10 and James and John. Regardless of where they are on their own spiritual journey, their experiences, questions, struggles, they are to walk the same path together. They are all to be servants of one another and slaves of all. They now stand as one body of disciples. They all together walk one path. They all follow one Lord. There's something profound, something hopeful about asserting that. Taken together, the 12 disciples represent and describe, in a way, our own lives, our own faith, our own experience of Christ. We know James and John, and we know the other 10 disciples, and we can see ourselves in either both of those. So who are we? What is your life like today? Are you like James and John, or are you like the 10 disciples? The answer probably is yes. Both live within us. It may seem a contradiction, but every day we experience it. Our experience of one does not preclude an experience of the other. Don't forget James and John. The two guys who got it were also the ones who fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane while Jesus prayed before his crucifixion. And we are also the 10, and we are James and John. Sometimes we catch that so special glimpse of Christ. And other times we're like the 10 disciples and we can only hope to catch that glimpse. Both are part of our individual spiritual journeys. Both are expressions of faithfulness. Both are given and receive the life of Christ. Both can become those for whom it has been prepared. So the truth is this. The truth is there is a cross in all our paths, almost all the time. And if it's not in our path at the moment, it will be there. It's in someone else's path. When it's in someone else's path, we can share our experience and help them. These are hard promises we got to keep. There are difficult roads we got to travel and painful decisions we must make, sometimes against our own self-interest. But it's all in the interest of loving God and loving others and being that servant that Christ calls us to be today. Now, Jesus may not call us to die dramatic deaths, though that always remains a possibility. He does call us to live a dramatically different life, where we put the needs of others above, beyond, and ahead of our own selves. He calls us sometimes to do some tough things. Scrub that toilet, take out the garbage without complaint, help others in difficult circumstances, whoever and where we are. So today, Christ calls you to be his companion, to be next to him, to take up the cross, to follow him, to be one of the 12 on that journey. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.